Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. Today I'm again blessed to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the lawgiver, the judge, the king, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Today I'm delighted to be here to talk on the subject of voting. We're going to deal with voting today. We have one black man in Ohio, Ken Blackwell. Now he's, a few years ago, was in a plantation, and now he's running for the governor of the state of Ohio. We're going to talk and see if he's worthy of our vote. Should we vote for him just because he's black? Or did he earn the right to gain our support? We're going to talk about that as well as voting and politics from a political and spiritual point of view. But before we get involved in extremely relevant subject, we're going to again bring you another beautiful song from the 12 Tribes CD entitled Way Out.
Way out, way out, y'all keep making our way out, way out.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. I'm so honored to be here today. I have a great friend of mine in the audience with me, Brother Ken Anderson. You know him. He's always on the radio himself. He has his own show. He's my friend, even though he's a Republican. He's still my friend. So I want you all to call in and talk to him tonight. And as I said, he's a personal friend of mine, so don't attack him. Attack his subject matter. If you don't agree with him, don't attack him, but attack his subject matter. Attack his point of view. Or either agree with his point of view. You don't necessarily have to attack it. I want you to agree with his point of view. As he's a very smart man, and you'll see exactly how smart he is tonight as we discuss this very interesting subject. We're talking about voting. And I'm going to conduct my show just a little different tonight. Every time I get ready to comment on a verse, I'm going to give my friend an opportunity to give his point of view on that same verse. I'm going to open up tonight to let you know that the Almighty addressed us putting people in office. He first talked to Israel. And who is Israel? Israel is the Almighty's chosen people. They're a black nation. They came out of Africa, out of a place called Jerusalem. They're in America today because we rejected the Most High. We cast him and his laws behind us. And we wanted to serve other things and other religions other than him. Now look at the fix that we're in. As you can see, as you look at us as a people, we made the wrong choice, didn't we? The gods that we're serving now hadn't profited of it all. And let's see what the Most High says about voting. We're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to go at the start in the 17th chapter. It says in the 15th verse,
"Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose. One from amongst thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother."
Right here, the Almighty, who's the epitome of knowledge, the perfection of beauty, the totality of wisdom. Here he says with his infinite wisdom to his people, "Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose. One from amongst our brethren shall I set king over thee." And then he says emphatically, "Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." And that makes perfectly good sense to me. Right now in Iraq, they're fighting for their independence. They're fighting to try to get a government started. It doesn't seem good sense to me if they elected a Chinese to be the president of Iraq. It wouldn't make good sense to me if all the people of Iraq elected a Russian to be their president. The only one that they can elect to represent them, in my opinion, is one of their own. And this is what the Almighty told us to do. If we're going to set a king over us, it must be one from amongst our own brethren. And then he gives a commandment and tells us, "Thou mayest not set a king over thee, which is not thy brother." And I totally agree with that. I don't see how my brother Ken Anderson, being a Republican as he is, and how he feels about that.
Well, first, thanks for the invitation to talk about the Ken Blackwell campaign. And I do deem it an honor to be here. The thing is, I agree with that.
All right. And we agree with that. So we want you to know the Almighty's perspective. We are not allowed for the king over there. But right now, we're not dealing with a king. We're dealing with a councilman or a governor. But we're a king over thee, we're not allowed, are we? We're going to see what the New Testament says dealing in politics. We're going to start, I'm going to try to take you in both books. Go to the book of Matthew real quick. Go to 22nd chapter. We're going there, the 22nd chapter of Matthew's. And we want you to give your opinion as well as us. Even though you won't be able to comment directly after each comment, you can save it until our presentation is over, and then we can allow the listening audience. Because we're going to see if we're moving in the same direction. If we're seeing things alike, or we getting off on the wrong base. According to Matthew's, the 22nd chapter, we're going to read the 17th to the 21st verse and see if you agree with this. It's in the New Testament, and they're words that supposed to have been spoken by the Christ of the New Testament himself. It says,
"Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?"
In other words, they're talking about recognizing one that is over them. And they asked the Christ of the New Testament, "Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" They thinking they'd catch him because they didn't know how prudent and how well versed he was in the scriptures of the Most High. So they sought to trap him. That's why they were asking him this question. And here's the answer that he gave unto them.
"But J.C. perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and subscription?"
In other words, whose face is on this penny? And what is the subscription on this penny?
"They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's."
In other words, as I pull out this dollar out of my pocket and look at it, I see a picture of George Washington on it. And then I see subscription of the United States of America, currency of the United States of America. And he's asking, whose picture's on the money? And he says, Caesar. He said, then give Caesar what belongs unto Caesar and give God what belongs unto God. How do you feel about that, Ken? Are we still in walking together? How do you see that?
Well, the whole point is this, is that, first of all, a spiritual being is higher than material being. And I believe somewhere along there it might even say that we should give God our heart, our mind, and our soul. So we give God our heart, mind, and soul first. The money is secondary. So it's further down the list. So I think giving God the first and heart, mind, and soul far outweighs any money that you could pull out of your pocket.
But my question is, do you agree with what Christ said?
I just answered the question.
It's a piece.
I just
asked you, did you agree with what Christ said? I understood your spin on this, but my question is, I just want to know, do you agree with the words of Christ?
Well, he said, give Caesar what is Caesar and give God what is God's, and I ask, which has the higher value, Caesar's or God's? And, of course, God's has the higher value, so I don't see there's anything wrong with what he said.
No. Well, I see something wrong with what he said. Because what I'm saying, Ken, he's making a differentiation of what the Almighty has and what Caesar has. See, the Most High said the earth is Yahweh's and the fullness thereof. He said the cattle upon a thousand hills belong unto him. And if he was hungry, he would not ask you because he's the possessor of the heaven and the earth. The Almighty said all the gold and all the silver belongs unto him. So Caesar came in this earth, naked he came in, and naked shall he go out. We are taking for granted that Caesar has some things, and the governor had some things, and some things belong to Mr. Bush. But Mr. Bush came into this world naked, and naked he's going to go out. He don't have anything, and nothing belongs to him, and the entire earth belongs to the Most High. And the things that we have are things that he lend to us, but we don't have it. And we can't take it with us.
Well, there's no contradiction there.
Well, he's saying give Caesar what belongs unto Caesar. He's saying the money.
Well,
see, he's showing that you.
But since Caesar pays his own this money, then evidently it belongs to him because this money, his face and his subscription is on it.
Yes.
And he said, whose face is on it? He said, well, then give God what belongs unto him. And he's showing that the money belongs unto Caesar. And that gives a wrong shadow out to people that don't understand. And what I want the people to understand is, let me read something real quick for our listening audience out of the book of Haggai for a minute. If we go there, in the book of Haggai, the book just before you get through the book of Zechariah. And it says, in the second chapter of Haggai, it speaks about what the Almighty is going to do in the last days. For the Creator says in verse 6 to 7,
for thus saith Yahweh of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith Yahweh of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith Yahweh of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former.
In other words, as he says in the book of Isaiah, 60th chapter, all the nations must bring all their gold and silver unto him. This belongs to him. I don't care if it's President George Washington or Lincoln or Jefferson. Are your face on the dollar or silver? All the money belongs unto to the Most High. And he comes first. And he tells his people to pay their tithes to him before they even think about Caesar. And if it's left between him and Caesar, then give to him, because Caesar doesn't have anything. And right here, it's a subtle way of suggesting that Caesar has some things and Yahweh has others. That's what I'm getting. And maybe the people in our listening audience are getting the same thing, but we'll see how they get it as they call in. But I understand your point of view. And I certainly know that you understand mine.
All right. Well, the thing is, as I said before, there's no contradiction in there when you quoted the words of Jesus. Looking at, for example, if someone was to travel from, say, Europe to Japan, it's two different script, two different money. So chances are you're not going to take your European money over in Japan. You'll probably convert it while you're in Japan. So in essence, that script money, that is totally different than silver and gold. You could take that anywhere. So in essence, what I'm saying is script money compared to God's natural earth and resource. And, of course, it all belongs to him, everything. Everything belongs to him. So there's no contradiction where Jesus said that there is, I don't see where there was any contradiction in what you were trying to point out.
Well, the point it is, if we look very carefully and consider what you said, I understand what you said about the gold and silver loans, but the Most High, but then you said the script money.
Everything belongs to him.
Wait, everything. Wait a minute, Professor. Give me a chance. See, all the paper belongs to the Most High. And that penny, the copper and penny, all the
everything.
Copper. Everything.
Yeah.
So we're not dealing with whether you're dealing with gold or silver or paper or scripts. It still all belongs to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
And we both understand that. Yeah. And if anybody gets anything out of here, that anything go to Caesar before they go to the Most High, then they would have to be mistaken.
He didn't say that.
Well, sir, that's your interpretation. What he's saying to me, he's making a difference. He says, we read the 21st verse of the 22nd chapter. They said to him, the 20th verse, and he said unto him, who is the image and subscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, the things which belong unto Caesar's, and to God the things that are God or the things that belong to God. And what I'm telling you, sir, everything belongs to the Most High. Everything.
Right. He didn't say that it didn't.
Well, not according to the script.
Right.
But we're going a little further. We're different with that. But we get right into everything. That's one other scripture I want to take you to see if we're agreeing with that. And that's the book of Romans. I want you to go to Romans. Give them a scripture.
Wait a minute. Can I do it? As you pointed out before, we've known each other for many years. And you know that I go with the Gospels and Revelation, the stuff that Paul wrote and all that stuff. So, I mean, really, for the sake of disclosure, I mean, there's nothing I'm going to try to defend besides the Gospel and Revelation. You know, so you can read me something out of Romans, and I might as well be reading from a Spider-Man comic book.
In other words, the point it is,
not that everything's wrong with it, but I'm not going to vouch for anything in there.
No, in other words, you said to show you something in Romans is like showing you a Spider-Man comic book. A lot of our Christian members would be offended hearing you say that, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm just being honest. I'm not saying that it's all wrong, but I'm just saying that.
Well, if it's like a Spider-Man comic book, it would have to be all wrong as far as being a book divinely written by the Most High,
well,
as they are teaching that it is.
Well, first of all,
be strong. I understand your point of view. Don't back up now. I like your strength. I like what you're saying.
No, I just don't like it is.
Well, don't stop then. Keep with it. So good. We might agree with this then. We go to the book of Romans, and we don't have to disagree with anything. I just want the public to see how you and I are agreeing with one another as we embark on this conversation about the governor. We go to the book of Romans, 15th chapter. And this is not for just you and I. This is for the benefit of our listening audience. And I might say the vast majority of the listening audience that I have around the United States are Christians. And I want them to look at these verses very closely and to see if they agree with it or are they able to think on their own. See, a lot of them are not able to think on their own. They let the preacher do the thinking for them. The average Christian to go to church, when they get to the door, he checks his hat and brains at the door and let the preacher do all the thinking for him. But maybe some of them still left their brains in the head, and we want to appeal to them so they're able to follow us through our lesson today. As we get to Romans, the 13th chapter, we're going to read a few verses, and we're going to see if we agree together. Yes.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
And I agree with that. He said there is no power on this earth except that of Elohim and the powers that are to be or ordained of Elohim. Do you agree with that?
Part of it. I agree with the part where it says that God is the only power. But as far as everyone that is a head of a nation is ordained by God. I don't necessarily believe that. I feel that personally that we've got a world full of trouble and turmoil, and it will be taken care of and solved when the Messiah comes back. And
in other words, you.
So until that time, you know, I think every individual stands on their own merit.
Okay. In other words, you don't agree with me that all the presidents, all the various leaders of the various countries are put there by the Most High.
Well, I think we live right now in a free will society, and so I believe that the Most High gives us a freedom of choice. Then I think that there are probably some good people in some good positions. There are probably some bad people in some good positions as well. You know, I think you have to assess each individual case. In other words, you would say then under that theory over in the Sudan, is okay because the people who are running that government are ordained by God, so they can slaughter the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. The various places all over, the hotspots all over the world. I think that, you know, before I would make a blanket statement like that, I'd have to look more into it. But
well,
my first glance.
I'm going to give you that chance to look into it then, because the Almighty addressed that. And he'll tell us if you're right or I'm right. If we go to the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter, and we're going to see what the Most High says. We're going to first go to Daniel, the second chapter. We're going to go to Daniel, the second chapter, and see if these people in these positions of leadership were put there by the people, since they're all free moral agents. Were they put there by the votes because the people heard out and voted? Or are they put there by the Most High? We're going to look into this situation and see so we can clear up this matter once and for all. We're going to start at the second chapter of Daniel, and we're going to read what Brother Daniel said in response to the Most High. He said in the second chapter, the 20th verse, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of Elohim forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." So what I'm getting from this is that the one that puts up the kings and the ones that remove the kings is the Most High. But I want to look a little closer and see what kind of kings the Almighty said he's going to put in office and what kind of rulers he's going to put over the various nations. Here in the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter, the 17th verse, it says,
"This matter is by the decree of the watchers."
This matter is by the decree of the watchers.
"And the demand by the word of the Holy Ones."
And the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will, and he sets up over it the basis of men. Now, according to this, the words that the Almighty gave Daniel, it is the Most High himself that rules in all the kingdoms of men. And he said he gives these various kingdoms to whomsoever he will. And then he said he set it up over these kingdoms, the basis of men. Well, the basis means the lowest. So it's only the lowest men that the Almighty will allow to occupy these seats of authority. So if this be true, then it is the Most High. Even though you and I are free moral agents, free to make decisions, and yes, you can vote on anybody you want to, you can fight to get anybody elected you want to, you got that prerogative, but at the end, the Almighty's will is what's going to be done.
Well,
his will.
Did I not say at the very beginning that God owns everything? He controls everything. So, you know, I think a lot of times what you do, you try to split hairs and make a contradiction where there's no contradiction that exists.
No, I thought you also said that the Most High is not the one to put these people in office. I thought you said that only we're the ones that put these
people
in office. I thought that's
well, that's good for thinking, but, you know, apparently you misunderstood what
I
said.
I'm glad that I did. I'm really glad that I did misunderstood.
Because what I basically said was that you have, number one, there's freedom of choice, free will. We do have that. And I did say that we live in a world of turmoil and that I don't think that we're going to have a political solution. What it is, it's going to be a spiritual solution to the material problems, and that we're going to have this turmoil in this world and chaos is until the Messiah returns. So that's an issue. Now the point is that there's good places, there's bad places, you know. And then you point out, and I said at the very beginning, God controls everything. This is his world. There's no contradiction there.
Well, I'm glad that you and I see it together. Like
I said the very same thing, so now you understood what I said.
Well,
Thank you.
We have the tape, but regardless what's already on the tape, the main thing that you and I now are seeing eye to eye, that
that the Most High himself does rule over all the nations, and that the Most High is the one that put these various rulers in office. So we agree to that.
Right. And there's a reference in Revelation to the nations and the leaves of the healing of the nations. It's all throughout, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Just so we understand that, and we are coming to a common understanding with one another. And as I said, let's go back one more time to the book of Romans. So that's where we begin to differ a little bit, but I wanted to read a little more for the benefit of our listening audience. I'm quite sure you and I will agree with each other 100%, but I think I might have a conflict with the way some of the listening audience sees this, especially some of our Christian brothers that were orientated and indoctrinized and miseducated that the entire Bible is the word of the Most High. And by them believing that the whole Bible is the word of the Most High, they think everything that they find in the Bible is actually the thoughts of the Most High, and this couldn't be further from the truth, as you will see. Going back to the book of Romans, the 13th chapter, it says in the second verse,
"Whosoever therefore resisteth the power."
He said, whosoever, that means me or you or anyone else. "Whosoever therefore resist the powers, resist the ordinances of
God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation."
In other words, it says anybody that resists any of the power, any of the authorities, or the whole of these higher authorities, were actually resisting God and shall receive to themselves damnation. And then it goes on to say,
"For rulers are not a terror to good works."
They went and made a broad statement and said rulers collectively. Rulers. I mean Mussolini, Hitler. Any ruler said, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil."
"Would thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to do thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil."
In other words, they said that these various authorities, these various rulers, these various presidents and dictators were actually the ministers of God. And they're not rulers that are a terror to good works, but they only put here to fight evil works. "And if any man go against them, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that does it evil. Wherefore ye must need be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake." So right here we see that the New Testament and the book of Romans, from the words of Paul, is saying that Hitler was a great person, and he was only against evil people. And if you were a good person, you were part of his administration. Instead, actually, he's a minister of God, and he was actually there to execute vengeance upon the wicked. But the Most High didn't say so. The Most High lets us know that all these authorities in office, even though he allows them to be in office, that they're there for a purpose. Or if we look in the book of Job, the 7th chapter, the 9th chapter, notice what the Most High says in the 24th verse. Job 9 and 24, he says, "The earth is given unto the hand of the wicked. He ruleth, he covers the faces of the judges. And if not, where and who is he? So right there it said the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. So what do we understand? We understand that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. The Most High giveth these kingdoms to whomsoever he will. The Most High sets over these kingdoms the bases of men. And why is he setting the bases of men over the nations? Because at this time the earth is given unto the hand of the wicked. Well, who's ruling the earth? Russia and the United States. We have all the nuclear bombs. Russia and the United States. What is the country that practice the most wicked and evil and diabolical type of slavery that's ever been practiced on a people? The United States. What nation was it that totally executed and annihilated the original inhabitants of this land? The United States. And what nation is it that actually made an atomic bomb and then dropped it on another people than the United States? And who is ruling the world? The United States. Now it's all coming together. The Most High said he gives the earth over into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of the judges thereof. He said, if not, where and who is he? So we're dealing with this situation as we attempt to embark upon our discussion of voting. Now we have Mr. Ken Blackwell. He's going to run governor. Is he part of that wicked? Or is he a knight in shining armor that's come to rescue all of us? We want to deal with this tonight in our discussion on truth. A couple other things I want to bring out to you before we embark on this discussion. Do you know what the Most High says about our people and what's going to happen in the last day? I know you don't. So let me give you one scripture that might help enlighten you of what the earth is to expect as a result of the wicked ruling. If we go to the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter, Isaiah. It says, I'm going to start reading in a night verse, and I'm going to read about the destruction of the world as we know it, as we begin to understand prophecy as it begins to unfold to us. It starts reading at the night verse.
Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger.
And with fierce anger.
To lay the land desolate.
And he shall suddenly destroy the sinners thereof out of it.
For the stars of heaven.
Now let's hold it. Who is the sinners? He's talking about when he comes back, he's going to destroy the sinners out of it. Now sin, even according to the New Testament, is the transgression of the law or any unrighteousness. So to sin, you have to break a law. And if Almighty's laws are done away with, as Paul said, then it's impossible to sin. Because the only way you can sin is breaking a law. Just wanted you to know that, throw that in as we read.
For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light.
Talking about the distress upon the earth in the last days, it said, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and is going forth.
And the moon shall not cause her light to shine.
And I will punish the world for their evil.
And the wicked for their iniquity.
And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease.
And will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible.
Almighty hates pride, doesn't he? He hates haughtiness. And he constantly talk about pride and the proud and how he's going to make the proud humble. here. He says, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. Why is he going to punish if Christ came to die for the sins of the world? And here the Most High is saying he's going to punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible.
I will make a man more precious than fine gold.
Here the Almighty speaks about how he's going to make a man more precious than fine gold, because the results of this fighting, results of wars, results that the violence is going to bring upon the earth through the wars and destruction, men will be left few. The Almighty said he will make a man even more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. And my, in other words, the most rarest and most precious thing that's going to be on this earth in the last day would not be silver. It would not be gold. It would not be rubies, but it will be a man. No wonder the Almighty said in the last days every man will have seven wives, because there will be so few of them. They will be so scarce. And he said not only will they be scarce, they will be so rare and so precious that they will be more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. In other words, one man will be worth over $10 million if you could evaluate his wealth and currency.
Therefore, I will shake the heavens.
Talking about how valuable man is, and you have people here talk about Cincinnati killing a man for stealing a car. General Motors make over 100 cars every day on the assembly line. Do you know how hard it is to make a man? It takes 9 months just to carry a baby, just to develop the baby, 9 months. And then take years of raising and feeding and bringing them up to make a man. Sometimes they're never made. But sometimes it takes 22 years to make a man. And y'all talking about killing a man for stealing the car. Just wanted to throw that in to show you how valuable the Creator says a man is. And why he condemned anyone to kill somebody just because they're an act of killing or stealing. You know the message you sent to the Cincinnati police that have been wanting to kill your son anyway? Now they hear you talking about it's okay to kill somebody if they steal your car? Do you know the message you're sending to the drug pushers that's been killing each other every day over there? Their crack, their cocaine, their rap, their area, and you've been saying it's wrong to kill each other over there and you shouldn't be killing each other over dope, and now they can laugh at you because you're saying you feel the same way. The only thing that separates you from the dope pushers is you got a job. Because if you didn't have that job, you'd be out there killing each other over your drugs just as they are. They're just a little, you're just a little more blessed right now, but you got the same mindset. Just wanted to throw that in as we read.
Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of Yahweh of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chase roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man.
In other words, in that day the Creator said, then shall every man turn to his own people. His own people. And flee everyone into his own land. Now, where you going to go, Mr. Negro? Since you think America is your land. Since you believe that it's okay to slaughter all the Indians and it don't belong to them no more. And since you're willing to die for the man that's ruling the land at this present time, and you're ready to give all your tribute to him, where are you going to go in that day when the Creator said every man shall flee into his own land and every man flee into his own people? Who are your people? Who are your land? Will you know in that day?
Everyone that is found shall be thrust through.
Speaking about in modern Babylon, in America, Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. I don't want you falling by the sword because you're joined to a bunch of evil, wicked heathens just so you can have a dollar more than your brother down the street. Don't sell yourself out. I wanted to let you know that because we're going to bring that up again in the course of our conversation on truth or traditions. And I want you to tell me in that day that the Almighty prophesies that his destruction will come upon America, where will you flee? Where will your land be? And who are your people? Since you denounce everybody in Africa, since you think you're holier than thou and you're too good for them, I want to know where you're going to go. Well, today I'm very honored again to have Mr. Anderson on my show with me, and he's going to talk about Ken Blackwell. And then we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. And, Mr. Ken, I appreciate you listening to me.
I listen every week.
All right.
I really do.
All right. And you wanted to talk to us about Mr. Blackwell today.
Yeah.
Well, right now what we're going to do, we're having a news break. We're going to come back, and we want our people and the listening audience to call in. We want the beautiful sisters. We want to see how many smart ladies we have in the audience because we want to hear your womanly opinion on this. And we want the men to call in from all over the city and around the country and give us your perspective on this politics and this election. And we want to get your point of view. But right now, we're going to stop for our news break. But when we get back, get ready for Mr. Ken Anderson while he's on Truth or Traditions. Thank you.
WTVC.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Yeah, Maria Elise Israel. Bringing you truth or traditions. So it took so long for me to get back. I wasn't used to all these commercials playing. I didn't know about this. So accept my deepest apologies for waiting so long for our program to come back on. I was not aware of this. But right now, we're going to get into the midst of our conversation on Truth or Traditions. We're dealing with voting. We have a very honorable guest in our midst today. We have Mr. Ken Anderson. And he's with me and talking on our program pertaining to voting. And we're going to discuss some things about the governor running as well as voting collectively. But I got a new caller I never had on the show before, and I'm very interested in hearing what he has to say. His name is MC. MC. MC.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Lisa.
Yes, how you doing?
Yeah, hey, man. You know, I just want to appreciate you, man. I've been listening to you off and on, not that much. I don't agree with everything you say, but a lot of things you speak truth. Some things you do teach truth, especially about the shooting and all that stuff. I just listen to you. But let me say this, man. I thank the Almighty God that you didn't sell your soul to Ken Blackwell and Ken Anderson at radio station. You kept your integrity, brother. They trying to do every damn thing they can.
Watch your mouth, though.
Okay.
You can stretch yourself, but watch your
language. Okay, Ken Blackwell, my opinion, you can't be trusted, brother. Hey, that's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to vote for him. I'm voting for the white man. I'm out.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I was going to ask MC if... I guess he
go ahead.
Hung up.
You can go ahead.
But I just want to know from the general audience, does it make any difference that Ted Strickland was a congressman for 12 years, representing part of Ohio and African Americans in his congressional district. He represented them in the city of Washington, D.C., which has well over 50% African American population. And Ted Strickland said for 12 years he could not find one qualified African American to work for him. Now, if you want to be like some people who are planning to vote the straight Democrat ticket and say that they're going to vote for Strickland and just hope that he does the right thing, then you look at his record for the last 12 years and ask, was he doing the right thing when he refused to hire an African-American by saying they can't find a qualified person?
All right. I'm sorry that our brother MC left us, but I'll try to comment on his behalf because I could feel his spirit. He felt as if Blackwell has been very bad for the black community. Many of us don't know anything about Strickland, what we know about Blackwell. And they know that he supported the most wicked regime in the history and the annals of United States history. He know that he supported wholeheartedly President. Therefore, he's part of the blame for everything that Bush did.
Well,
as a matter of fact, there's a lot of people that have strong evidence to prove that he helped put Bush in office by not allowing blacks to be able to vote in the state of Ohio. So a lot of blacks are not as indebted to Mr. Blackwell as you are.
I'm not indebted to Mr. Blackwell. I'm just expressing my point of view.
Let me express mine. I listen to you. I want you to listen to me because I think when I say this, I'll be speaking for a few people. Any man that can endorse Bush in his administration, they believe that there's something in the New Testament. I think that even talks about somebody like Mr. Ken Blackwell. I think we have find it in the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Because I remember Mr. Blackwell coming up in Cincinnati. He was a black Baptist. He got into politics, and then he became a Catholic. And then he went in office as a councilman by the Democrats who elected him in. But as soon as he got in, he became a Charterite. Then he became a Republican. And he seemed to have been a man that's willing to sell himself out to the highest bidder. And it looks like they groomed him and formed him and made him into what he is today. And he's very grateful to the Republican ticket. But look what it says about the book of Matthews, the 23rd chapter. I would like to read something I want to go with the 15th verse. And here's what it says. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte." Proselyte is somebody you make after you. You make them after your liking. And they say, "Ye compass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than they themselves." So some people consider him just as bad or worse than Mr. Bush. Now, they know bits of Bush don't have their interests at heart, but they figure that Mr. Blackwell should be more considerate. So it's true that they don't know everything about Strickland. But at the same time, they know Blackwell, and he shows what kind of stripes that he's been wearing the last few years to people, especially in Cincinnati, where he came from.
May I speak now?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you. First of all, while you accuse Ken Blackwell of supporting everything that Bush does, which that's fine, Ted Strickland has a congressional record of voting for it. So as you say, well, Ken Blackwell was in league with George Bush. Well, so was his opponent, and not only that, it's part of the congressional record. Secondly, this whole issue.
Well, let me
with
firstly, before you get to second, one point at a time. Secondly, before you get to secondly, let me deal with the first thing. It's a known fact that everybody is not aware of Strickland's entire voting record and what he represented, but they do know that he's a Democrat. And Democrats as a whole are against much of what the Republicans are doing. And so they don't know that, but they do know about Blackwell.
Well, Strickland's got the same record, sir. That's what I'm saying, if you want to just say that.
So he
helped
stop blacks from getting be able to vote in Ohio?
Well, first of all, let's deal with some urban myths. Let's deal with some urban myths. The point is this. More African Americans voted in 2004 than the history of the state of Ohio. Secondly, Ken Blackwell, as Secretary of State, had nothing to do with how many voting machines were at what precinct, whether it's in Cleveland, Toledo, Dayton, or Hillsborough, Ohio. That's up to those local boards of elections. And, you know, it's one thing to say that, calls all the long lines in Cleveland, but then when you look for the fact, and this is truth or tradition, and when you search the truth, you find out that under Ohio State Constitution, there are 88 boards of elections, and each of them have two Democrats, two Republicans. The Secretary of State does not micromanage each county. So the long lines and confusion that they had in Cleveland was the fault of the two Democrats and two Republicans that run the Board of Elections in Cuyahoga County, not Ken Blackwell, sir.
Do you know Ken Wells' position in the state of Ohio right now?
Ken Blackwell's position is he is Secretary of State, sir.
And do you know right now they're talking on TV about right now they got to watch the state of Ohio because they're saying Ken Blackwell is running for governor and he's over all these machines and whatnot. They're
Bob Taft was Secretary of State when he ran for governor, sir. You know, the point is, what should he do? Step down so he can run for governor?
But he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be a part of the people that are checking out the validity and the credibility of all the voting, and he himself is sponsoring and supporting one of the candidates.
Guilty of any of this stuff, he would be in criminal court by now.
Not so. Is Bush in criminal court?
Noy gave money to Bush, and he's in court for giving money to Bush illegally.
We all know.
So if they're going to take him to court, surely they would take someone that stole something to court.
No, not if they're in control. And see, the point is, right now, the reason that he hadn't been impeached or been up for impeachment is because the Republicans control the Congress right now, and they know they don't have a chance of putting them out of office while they are in control, and you know that. But right now, let me go to some of our listeners right now, because yes, sir, we're going right to our beautiful, loved brother, Michael Raleigh.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
How you doing, Ken?
All right, how are you, sir?
Okay, well, before I start on Ken Blackwell, it's something I saw on the news this week, and I think everybody should aware and talk about politics. In Palestine the other day, Hamas was trapped. And Israel came after them, Israel, this country's allies. And they was trapped in a mosque. And they asked for volunteers to come. And 1,000 women volunteered to get their men out of the mosque. And they went through gunfire and got their men out of there. Now, you tell me what politics can deal with that. That's the power of people standing up for what is right. And we see today these politicians all are lying. And we want to vote for them, give our trust in them. All of them are a bunch of lies. But let's deal with Ken Blackwell.
Well, I have to say that seemed to be the general consensus of all sort of talk show hosts I watch on TV. The people that's calling him and making surveys, they just tired of all the politicians. They said they're all a bunch of crooks, and
that's what
they don't
are.
Trust none of them. They said they all need to be put out because people begin to understand the politician now, and he knows that he's only going to do what is politically expedient, and that's what's benefit itself.
And also we understand that the Republican Party controls the media, all the talk shows, even Sambo Radio, they control it. And this is why we hear Ken Blackwell on this station, because he has a lot of control on it. So that's all we hear, the good things, but we don't hear the bad things, you know, what he did about, you know, black people. All we hear what is good, like affirmative action. Where does he stand on that? Where do you stand on? Where the Republican Party stand? Ken, let's answer that one.
Well, look at his record and look at the record contracts that he gave out to many minority businesses, African-American-owned businesses, as Secretary of State and as Treasurer of the State of Ohio.
Now, you said a direct question on affirmative action. That was his question.
Do you judge a man by his words or by his deeds, sir? Look at his deeds. His deeds obviously show that he is willing to expand the economic pace.
Sir, on truth or tradition, will you answer the question?
I just answered it.
No, you didn't.
Sure,
no,
I did. Look at his record, you will see that he gave out more African-American contracts, to African-American businesses than anyone in that position in the state of Ohio. What about that don't you understand?
I'm not understanding. You're talking like a politician now. I asked you a direct question, and that is, how does he stand on affirmative action?
Once again, sir, at his deeds,
right.
Look at his record, you will see that he gave out more contracts.
Right.
So it's obvious from his actions is affirmative for that.
All right, go ahead. Any other comments, sir?
Okay, other thing. We understand that Ken Blackwell, the great black savior who's going to save us black folks, never did anything for us in the first place. Now, when Taft and all of them was up there in Columbus stealing the money with the corn gate and all of them, when Bush was doing all his dirt, why didn't the great savior, the black man, Blackwell, Whitewell, didn't come up and say something about it? Why didn't he denounce them?
Well, actually, you'll find out that he's been disagreeing with Bob Taft for years.
Denounce them? He did not denounce him. He's afraid he'll lose his political power.
Okay. Well, you could think that, and that's a beauty part of America. You're entitled to your opinion.
No, that's a fact. You keep jumping on a man because you are part of the Lincoln Douglas Club. And at Lincoln Douglas Club
I'm not.
Yes, you are, Ken. Don't kill me.
Lincoln Douglas Club.
Right. You go
so
there
I'm a dues-paying member of the Lincoln Douglas Club? Is that what you're telling me, sir?
Yes or no.
Sir? How am I a member?
In the Lincoln Douglas Club, if you know for a fact.
Well, how am I a member, sir? Is this truth or tradition, or is this urban myth and make-believe?
No, let me finish.
You just make up the facts as you go along, or what?
No, let me finish, please. Like I said, the Lincoln Douglas Club was the same people who got Kabaka killed. And like I said, just like you got Cracky and Ken and all of them on there, talking this stuff about putting a jail up there, and the jail is like asking the Jews to vote for Auschwitz. And that's all you talk about is crime.
All right.
That's the Republican thing. Let's throw black people in jail.
You're into name-calling and generalities, and I think that you need to separate
facts
from
tradition, sir. You were down there too, Ken. You were down there too, Ken.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you
shalom,
for your comment.
Shalom,
shalom.
Boy, that's a lot of shalom peace. Do you think that's sincere? Man, he's full of venom and hatred. Well, he just called people names and made some wild accusations and personal attacks.
Well,
and, you know, the thing is...
He was looking for some straight answers. No, you had been given straight answers.
He asked me how was Ken Blackwell with affirmative action,
and
he gave him contracts.
Sir,
what else can Ken Blackwell do?
He's not able to defend himself right now. Tell me to go to someone else.
It's not about him.
All right, right now we're going to go to Sister Monica. Sister Monica.
How are you guys tonight?
Yes, fine. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm well, thank you. This is one point that I think, as it relates to Mr. Blackwell's role in the suppression of votes in Democratic precincts throughout Ohio, one of the things that we have to take into consideration is the amount of money that is now going into these Secretary of State races, and I'm going to tie this all together. In 2000, Catherine Harris, who was Secretary of State for the state of Florida, played a key role in the decisions that she made up prior to that election date as relates to purging of the rolls. She hired a company that purged thousands and thousands of names from the rolls. As a result of her action, and some inaction on the part of the Democratic Party, but as a result of her actions, George Bush became our president. That is what alerted people to the significance that the Secretary of State, that office, could hold. and how they could use that office to their benefit. So now Republicans and now Democrats as well are pouring millions of dollars into these Secretary of State races because they recognize what happened in 2000 in Florida happened in Ohio in 2004. It's not urban myth. It's not urban legend. There have been independent reports after independent investigations about the things that happened in Ohio. The thing about in 2004 where the Ken Blackwell changed the rules, and he said, this is what we have to have. We're going to have, in order for people to vote, the only thing that's going to be acceptable for voter registration would be these 80-pound unwaxed white paper. Just doing that alone lost 72,000 votes. They had to litigate that. 6 days before the registration deadline, he withdrew. He withdrew that. But by that time, the damage had already been done. If you look at how the voting machines, the numbers of voting machines, and where they were placed and the lack thereof in highly populated Democratic precincts, true, Ken Blackwell did not go, or at least I hope, to Cuyahoga County, to Hamilton County, to other counties where they experience these long, 11-hour waits and 12-hour waits and people leaving and coming back. Yes, they did. Just because you don't believe it and
he wants to talk with you a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, first of all, if people had that much trouble voting, how would you account for the 2004 election having more votes than in the history of the state of Ohio?
Just because all that means to me is a lot of people voted, but that doesn't mean a lot of those votes were counted. Listen, in Kenyon College, where Democratic students had registered in record numbers in the state of Ohio, there were only two machines for over 1,300 registered voters.
In other words, people stood in line
for 11 hours to wait to vote.
Who are the people that run that county's board of elections? There are two Democrats and two Republicans that run it, so they are responsible for that, ma'am.
Kenneth Blackwell was the final arbiter in allowing and distributing the voting machines.
Now, come on. Just stop it. You know better than that. Tell the truth. This is truth or tradition. So let's stop the Democratic tradition of bashing people and just tell the truth. Ken Blackwell had nothing to do with
Nazarene University, where they had fewer than 100 votes. They had one machine for every 100 voters.
Well, they need to contact their Board of Elections, and there must be some mighty weak Democrats in that county to allow that to happen.
So Democratic voters in inner-city precincts like Columbus and Cleveland
and Toledo, who
were voting for Kerry by a margin of 9-1, had to wait up to 7 hours to vote.
All
of these things had nothing whatsoever to do with Ken Blackwell, even though he's the Secretary of State, and it is his responsibility to make sure every person who wants to vote votes.
All right, Monica, thank you.
That's like saying
I appreciate your comments. Thank you very, very much. Let me say this because I got a lot of people on there, and you and her had a nice dialogue, and I appreciated what you're saying, but I appreciate what she was saying as well. And you wanted to know why so many people voted. That don't mean their votes were counted correctly.
Sure, they had to.
That meant that a lot of people now wanted to get Bush out of office. That's why you had the large turnout. But that don't mean that everything was fair that took place, and that's what she's bringing out.
It was a recount. There was a federal recount, and if Ken Blackwell had done any of these things that he had been accused of, he would have been facing criminal charges by now.
From what I read, he even stood in the way of the machines being examined, sir. Yes. But let me go to some other people so we can all get on this. Right now we're going to a brother that calls himself Reverend Abrams. And, of course, I don't call nobody Reverend because there's only one Reverend, but I want the brother to talk anyway. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Hey, my friend.
Yes, is this Mr. Abrams?
Hey, I'm a spokesman for the Most High. Okay.
Not wearing that name, Reverend. You're not there, sir.
Okay, we're not gonna get in that. I come in love. You know how I stand, my friend. We're on one accord.
Yes, sir.
The reason why I'm calling is that I agree with the 13th chapter of Romans, beginning at the first verse. Let me read that. Let every soul be subjected unto the higher power.
Do you agree
for
with
there
the
is
second
no power.
Verse? I don't have no problem with the first verse. Do you agree with the second verse?
Yeah, I agree with the second verse.
Then read it. Read the second verse.
Okay, it says, "Who's ever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation."
All
I
right,
agree with
so
that 100%.
Well, if you agree with that 100%, then you're saying that Daniel is going to be damned because
no.
He,
Wait, let me interrupt, sir.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
And saying I'm saying to agree with that. You agreed that Daniel was wrong when he went up against Nebuchadnezzar and didn't and prayed to his God when the order was out to only pray to the image that he set up. So you're saying that you disagree with the three Hebrew boys because they refused to bow to the image also, and they were cast in a flame of fire. You're saying that they supposed to have been there. You're saying they were evil and wicked, and you're saying you agree with Hitler that he is right. And anybody that stood in Hitler's way was wrong because he was set up by God and he's the minister of God for good and not evil. That's what you're telling me.
No, let me state what I'm telling you.
Let me state what I'm telling you. Well, you already did. You said you agree
okay.
with that verse. It's just that I just understand that you don't understand what it's really saying then.
No, let me state what I'm talking about in Romans 13. Okay, I'm not going to some other scripture.
Well, I didn't either. I still
okay.
like Right
what
there.
What I'm saying is that God is always in control. Okay, the only authority is appointed by God. Okay, we're not supposed to buck against the authority.
So
okay, we have to surrender to authority.
So you were to surrender to Hitler, wouldn't you?
Well, most definitely.
I just, so if Hitler, I'm not surrendering to Hitler, I'm surrendering to God.
Oh, not
good
Hitler.
Enough. So if Hitler told you to put 100 babies in a gas chamber, you would have did it, wouldn't you?
I'm surrendering.
Now,
if God had said that, I wouldn't have done it.
If what?
Okay. If God would have told me that, I wouldn't have done it. I surrendered to God,
so
not
you
to
would,
Hitler.
Oh, so you just said that you agree with all the higher authorities, though, sir. See, you're contradicting yourself. I want you to read that close, okay? But I don't have
I'm
to
not
go
contradicting
right.
myself.
Yes, you are. You just
okay.
don't realize
but,
it.
But
I got to go
ahead,
right now.
Let me go ahead and finish.
We're having you on another
thing.
1 minute.
Off.
Right now, we got to go to someone else. And because my brother began to talk double tongue and not realize what he's saying. But we don't have time to educate him right now. We just want to deal with some politics. We want to go to Sister June right now. Sister June. Then we're going to Brother Kimuel. And if anybody else want to call in, 749-1230, The Buzz. Sister June.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First, I wanted to ask Ken Anderson. I was listening to his conversation with Beth Smith. And, Ken, I was rather disappointed how you came out so loud and strong and you were very, very belligerent to our queen of nighttime talk radio. And I was rather shaken by that because everyone knows that you support Ken Blackwell, but, you know, you were out-talking her. You were talking, almost screaming at the top of your voice. And I think you've taken this pledge too personal, Ken, and never insult us black women or anyone else just to support a candidate. So I just want you to know that I recognize that. I don't know if other listeners were hearing how you're like attacking Beth because she was she was supporting the Democratic Party and you were so, you know, hell-bent on supporting Ken Blackwell to the point where you're just disrespecting Beth Smith.
Well, you know, the thing is they may take my disagreement as being disrespectful, you know, but my life, the way I feel is this, and I'll be honest with you, there's no man or woman that's got her heaven or hell to put me in. So, I'm going to speak the truth as I see it. Now, the fact of the matter is that she had been lying on Ken Blackwell, and I was about telling the truth. And also, the fact of the matter, she did say this, which was true, that she did not know that Ted Strickland refused to hire an African-American for 12 years. Now, she's got friends that are in Congress, and I would think that that is very, I think a very, is
an insult for anyone to say, I can't find a qualified whatever, you fill in the blank, because I think that all of us are God's creatures, and we're all created in his image, and that we all have talent. And for someone to say that they can't find a qualified African-American remind me of the Jim Crow days back in the 60s. Now, if that's good enough for Bev Smith, that's fine, but she needs to get the facts. And
I
was simply telling her to get the facts.
Ken Anderson, I didn't hear her say that she either believed you. She said she was going to check into it by asking her friend, former Mayor Dwight Tillery, to look into that. But my point is,
it's known, and she could have easily gotten the information well before now. But go ahead.
But guess what? I mean, what difference does that make when Ken Blackwell, who is a black man, sat there and disenfranchised hundreds of thousands of black voters? So the color of his skin did not change his character, because he did us a great disservice for what he did back in 2004. So him, whether or not he hired a black person or not, has nothing to do with the character of who he is. Because,
sure,
again, Ken Blackwell may have mostly all black people working for him, but what difference does that make if he doesn't do us a service as being a black man in the office? Sure. So this whole thing about who hires who. Now I would have a problem if a qualified black person went into his office, asked to apply for a position, and was then turned down. Who said that there was a qualified black person who even attempted to go to his office or was even interested in his office? Maybe no black person has even gone and approached him to be hired for a position.
In 12 years, no African-American asked Ted Strickland for a job.
But again, you don't have a record of any black person has been denied a position trying to apply for his office. But this whole
the record is the absence of an African-American being on his payroll. Now, there is one person that was on his payroll, and that was a convicted pedophile. What about this convicted pedophile that was made his campaign manager after he was convicted of exposing himself to
a
12-year-old girl?
Wait, don't try to out-talk. The point is, we got to be respectful.
We got to deal with the truth, sir.
But on this show, we wait and try to give each person an opportunity.
Well,
thank you so much,
o'clock,
no,
sir.
No, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Israel. I'm going to make my last point, because I know other people want to talk about this. Ken Blackwell, just because he's black doesn't make him right for this position. He showed who he really is in 2004, and us black people are not that stupid to think just because now in 2006 that he wants our vote when he did nothing for us to protect our votes in 2004. We must be boo-boo the clown to fall for that, and we will not, and he will not get the majority of our votes come Tuesday. Thank you so much, Brother Israel.
All right.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to let you speak, but I got a lot of people on, and I can't just let you.
She's
not here no more. Y'all have
All right. I see how you do it.
That's the way I do it. I try to get our people on. Right here, we have Brother Kimuel that's been here for a while. I want him on, and so he can say his, and then you talk when he's on, but when he's off, we got to go to somebody else. That's the way I do it. Yes, sir.
Shalom, Ray.
Shalom.
Shalom, Ken.
Hello, how are you?
All right, and the staff down there. Ken, I want to ask a couple of questions, then I want to go to the couple of scriptures. But it's kind of rough coming behind Brother Elisha for a couple, because he hit on some things that I was going to say. But, Ken, you know that there was 1.1 million votes thrown out and within the whole state of Ohio during the 2004 election.
You know what? The thing is, if there was any criminal activity over the 2004 election,
I will.
You ask a question, I start to answer, but you don't give me time.
No, you dance around the question. I just asked, do you know with 1.1 million votes thrown out within the whole state of Ohio?
Well, let him comment on it. Go ahead.
The point is, folks, when you drive a car, do you drive looking in the rearview mirror? And so if there was something that was criminally done in 2004, surely there would have been time enough to bring out the evidence. The bottom line is that regardless of all the allegations, there is nothing concrete. Now, if our criminal justice system convicted Mr. Noe, who gave money to President Bush, if they convicted Bob Taft, I'm sure that if Ken Blackwell had done something criminal, he would have been convicted or at least taken through the criminal court process.
Okay, but answer my question.
Yeah, he answered it, but let me hold it 1 second. Let me ask this. Do you think, Ken, that President Bush has done anything criminal?
You know, the thing is
No or yes. Do you think he did anything criminal? No or yes.
If you want to say lying to the American people weapons of mass destruction, the thing is...
You're not answering my question. My question is simple. Do you think President Bush did anything criminal? No or yes.
You could ask that about anybody.
Do you
think that anything criminal? I mean, truth or tradition. Let's deal with facts, sir.
The fact is that you refuse to answer everybody's question. You won't answer nothing directly. You're skipping around everything.
All right.
You're skipping and you're running.
I think it would be irresponsible for me to sit here on the mic and say that I think that anyone did something criminal without me having any specific knowledge.
Then all you have to do is say no.
The thing is, I'm not going to box myself in, sir.
That's not boxing yourself in. All you have to do is say no, Alicia. I don't have no knowledge that Mr. Bush has ever did anything criminal. In my opinion, that's all you had to do is say that. But you wasn't going to say that because you know it's not true. And so you're just going to dance around it, and that's what you were doing. What's your question, brother? Jeez. Do you have another question?
Elisa.
I'm trying to get to a lot of people.
Okay, Mr. Anderson, you even agree with Elisa. Matter of fact, you made a comment. You said it was the highest voters turnout in Ohio they ever had. But when Marie Elisa said, he had made a comment on that, you danced around that question. You know, he said, and the reason why, because a lot of people wanted to get Bush out. And then once the Republicans knew that there was a higher, at least 75% to 80% Republican turnout, then that's when all the calls from the White House, or however Blackwell got his information, that's when he went to the Supreme Court and got an injunction. And it was against mostly all Democratic districts.
I'm glad you brought that out. But we're going to have to go to somebody else.
All right.
Say this to you, brother. Yes. Brother Ken, when he walked in here, you should have seen him. He had on his ballet shoes when he walked in the room. He was talking about.
Yeah.
But I'll see you later.
Shalom.
Understand my answer.
Right now, we're going to Sister. We're going to Sister. Kashaya.
Like
Sister Kashaya. Yes?
Yes, sir. Greetings, Alicia.
Greetings.
I'm going to try to be real brief and run through because you got a lot of callers. Get it out real quick. As you know, there's a significance in the number 3 in the Bible. And obviously... we are dealing with 3 Ks in this election surrounding Ken Blackwell. And those 3 Ks being Ken Blackwell, Ken Lawson, and that one sitting across from you.
And I tell you, check out Ted Strickland, KKK. Do a Google search on
Maureen.
Ted Strickland, KKK, and see what you come up with. I believe this is JR, and it sounds just like JR. And so when you have enough nerve to call who you
Maureen.
Really are.
Yes,
but
yes,
anyway,
wait, let me,
check out
wait,
KKK Ted Strickland
said,
on the Google
you
search.
Said that. Let me hear the caller. Yes, ma'am.
I didn't even call the same thing to him. So the point here is 3s is usually a significant number dealing with evil. And so pure evil to me is dealing with those.
Trinity?
Those
Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Is that evil?
Dealing with...
Wait, let her
that's
finish.
That's a trinity. That's
sir,
3.
Sir, please, respect our guest.
A lot of
please.
Times
yeah.
dealing with evil, too. And that's a show enough evil right there when you get them. And considering you're dealing with one of the main people that's been trotting around... promoting Blackwell, a same man that came out and told you all to vote for Joe Dieters, a man that told you to vote for a man.
I didn't say
who,
I didn't say
nothing about you, so shut up talking to me. I'm talking about as in Lawson. He told the people, vote for a man that prosecutes your people. Vote for a man that prosecutes your people. He told you to do this over a black man, Fanon Rucker, but now he gets out here and he is telling you to go for this black man and do it because this is a black man. Do it over Strickland because this white man, he won't do nothing for you black people, and he's doing the exact opposite. So, again, all I just say to the people is, there's your three right there.
All right.
And so not to mention, in closing, these two are the ones, those two Kens right there, not Blackwell, I don't know about him, but those two all wrapped up in, as far as I'm concerned, murder, and was right there together all down at the trial. That black one sitting right across from you.
I was not black at the trial, young lady. You know what? Is this truth or tradition or just sitting here and telling whatever lies and fabrications you can come up with? I was not at the Kabaka Abba trial. As a matter of fact, I was called as a witness, and I was dismissed, and I didn't go back. So, once again, she's false. So, folks, speak for you. You know, the facts speak for themselves.
All right, we're going to another caller right now. We're going to the Black Line. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Greetings,
shalom,
Elder.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Ken. How you doing today?
All right, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, very well. My question is very brief. Do you sincerely believe we as a people are going to receive any resolve from this European system? Is it going to benefit us in a great multitude as a nation within the nation with the evidence that it has not benefited us in no wise since we've been here? Do you sincerely believe that this European is going to take from his children and his great-grandchildren to give to you and your black ones?
Well, first of all, sir, David once said that I was young, now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. I think that if we focus on God first, we have nothing to worry about. You know, I think we often spend too much of our waking hours confused over matters that actually are at a lower level. And so if you want to spend your time discerning between Europeans and Africans and one train of thought versus another, you are entitled to do that. But I think that if you focus on our Heavenly Father first and foremost, that you have nothing to worry about.
Okay. Well, I understand
that. Matter of fact,
check
out 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. There's your healing. This is a spiritual healing.
Well,
and also, there's the Messiah that is.
Let me say this.
Takes care of this.
That 7:14 said, "I will forgive their sin and heal their land," but I didn't see where Christ would be in that scenario at all.
Well, putting the timeline, this scripture was written several hundreds years before Jesus was actually born, so that's a whole different issue. But the point doesn't change it. As a matter of fact, even Jesus. Jesus never.
So he wasn't born in time to save the world from a flood, was he?
No.
He wasn't born to save the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
For example.
He wasn't. So a lot of people are out of it because he wasn't born then, right?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. And see, that's the other thing. I won't let you put words in my mouth.
No, you just said he wasn't born then.
What I'm saying is if you look at the Bible, it is a compilation of 66 individual books over a period of hundreds of years. And the fact that when David wrote his writings, Jesus wasn't born till many years later.
That's what I said, sir. So I merely said he wasn't down to save the world when it was destroyed with a flood, was he?
Well, God.
And then you
God
said,
made
I put,
the, God made the decision to destroy the world by flood, and he said he's going to destroy it the next time by fire. And
you have to
in
do
the
it.
Revelation,
oh, yeah.
You see it happening.
All you have to do is just answer my question.
I did answer your question.
Let me ask you one other question.
Well, may I interject, please, before we digress too far? In response to your remark, brother, the flaw I see in that is where you spending 95% dealing in the issues of Babylon and which path you should choose on that path versus the Creator. And you said if I leave it up to God, that's the phrase you use, if I walk in the path of Yah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that therein belong unto Him, I can't participate in Babylon's regime in no wise. You contradict yourself by saying, well, you ought to follow the Creator, but you follow on Babylon.
How you know what I'm following?
All right, well, thank you, though. I got a lot of people on, so I'm going to have to go.
Person, your own teacher.
Thank you, Babylon.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank
shalom,
you, shalom,
shalom.
Let me ask you a question. The other day, a well-known black woman in Cincinnati, Sister Nikki Giovanni, she was speaking down at the new inauguration of the Fountain Square, I think, and she said that Ken Anderson was a political whore. Ken Blackwell was a political.
She also called him an SOB.
No, wait.
Used the profane words.
I'm done with the words. Do you agree that he is a political whore?
Well, you know, she was saying,
I'm asking you one question. Do you agree that he is a political whore?
No.
So what is
define political whore?
Well, a whore is somebody use. And I think Mr. Bush has used him.
Well,
Let me finish. Not only has Mr. Bush used Mr. Ken Blackwell, but the Republican Party has used Mr. Blackwell. And right now he's running for the governor of the state of Ohio. And from my last estimation that I checked out, he was about 20 points behind. Now, he's only 20 points behind because he's a black man. There's no doubt in my mind that if he was a white man running for the governor of Ohio from the Republican Party as it is today, he would probably be elected. He would not be 20 points behind by a hardly unknown politician, as you said. But he's looked like that the party that y'all have been supporting has dumped him. It looks like they can't use him no more. And when they can't use them, they're not going to allow him to use them. And so it looks like these great white Republicans are abandoning Ken Anderson, Ken Blackwell, to me. That's where it looks to me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if they wanted to, they could get him in office if they turned out?
Let me put it to you this way. There was a primary in the Republican Party earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Blackwell was running against Jim Petro.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans in the state of Ohio selected Ken Blackwell over Jim Petro.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people who voted for Jim Petro. Now, I'm sure they're still against Ken Blackwell. So there was a hardcore within the Republican Party that would never go with Ken Blackwell. However, the number of people...
Why wouldn't they?
Well, they supported Jim Petro for whatever reason.
I mean, but
reason.
You said they would never go with Blackwell.
Well, the one I'm trying to explain to you, sir, is that Ken Blackwell is not a go-along, to get-along politician. He is not one that carries the Republican Party water, and he is not
Let me get
one...
to some more votes
right,
so I can get some more comments.
He's not the average Republican. That's
Sister
why they're
Dorothy.
Supporting.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm all right. I wanted to first ask the question. No, I'm going to make a comment on something that was just said, and then I want to ask the question to Ken.
All right.
Okay. It says, if my people. It didn't say all people. See, we got to distinguish who God's people are today in this day and time in particular.
You should know yourself, within your heart. You know if you are or not. If you're not,
I just say we got to know. Okay. Then if we, for those who are God's people, then... In the Bible, it also speaks of that Satan deceived the whole world.
He deceived God's people.
Well, then let me say it like this then. But let me say this. Then if the people are waking up and God is no longer going to allow Satan to keep deceiving us, then and if you believe that, then why in the hell do you keep putting up and protecting and trying to hold up a system that God wants to tear down, and he's going to tear it down. And I'll listen to your response. Thank you.
All right. Well, right now we don't have time to respond because our show is going off and news is coming on. I appreciate everybody that's called. I really appreciated all the comments.
And I'm glad to have my visitor, Ken Anderson, on my show today. I'm very delighted, and I hope y'all were as delighted with him as I was. But right now, our show is going off. Anybody want to contact me, 226-7110, or listen to www.houseofisrael.org on the Internet. And until next week, Yahweh love you very much.